The views and opinions expressed by guests on the Hide and Seek podcast are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views, opinions, or positions of the host or contributors. Hey everyone, this is Sarah. Would you like to take a more active role in the Hide and Seek community? Would you like to share your thoughts with other listeners? Join us in the Hide and Seek podcast discussion group on Facebook. You can find us by searching Hide and Seek Podcast Discussion Group on Facebook. This podcast deals with mature topics that may not be suitable for all listeners. Material heard on the Hide and Seek podcast is intended for adult listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Sweet dreams are made of this.
24-Hour News 8's Brady Gillum went to Sturgis tonight to speak with the missing woman's mother about what may have happened to her daughter.
I can tell you where she most likely is.
I hadn't seen anybody that I felt comfortable saying anything to until today. The stories they tell are pretty they're pretty freaking gruesome.
I kept all the text messages, Facebook messages, the messages between me and Brittany. I have all of them. I have everything.
I told him, I said, I'll kill all them motherfuckers. And I was going to have my people fucking take care of it.
I'll just say Brittany's name out of nowhere just to see what somebody says.
Because this little town around here would be hard to hide something like that. Because eventually everything comes out. Some days I don't believe anything happened to her. I think she just left.
This is Hide and Seek, Season 3. I'm your host, James Basinger. Hey, guys. We ended the last episode with, well, I don't know how to describe that. You heard my interview with Chris P. Let's recap the takeaways. I asked Chris straight up if he had anything to do with Pocket getting picked up on November 29th, 2018. He said he absolutely did not, but later tells me he has a theory about Pocket getting picked up and says that he's always wondered if Pocket called in a tip on himself to escape a situation he knew was coming. Chris was cooperative, and he seemed a little nervous, but this wasn't alarming to me. He tells me he was at Ashley's maybe a total of 10 times and didn't really know her all that well. After Pocket was picked up, he says he would stop by on occasion to rest his feet from walking, but felt out of place. Chris says right before Brittany's disappearance, Ashley was in a rough place. She was being evicted and her unemployment ran out. But then all of a sudden, she had money. It seemed as though Chris was suspicious about this.
I think the biggest clue here is, where did this money come from?
As he goes on talking, he says he doesn't know what happened to Brittany, but he has a feeling that there were a lot of people involved, but only a few of those people knew what was going to happen. Chris tells me he felt they created a group of people that they can control through the secret of what happened to Brittany. He says he shared his opinion about this, and it split the groups. The whole thing was weird, he says. Looking back, Chris says the only thing that he can trace it back to is Ashley showing up with a lot of money. During this time, he observes Eric and Ashley becoming very close. He goes on to say he saw Glide there, but never saw Brittany there. During our conversation, Chris tells me the first time he met Ashley, they came to Clay Street to pick him up because he was hurting for a buzz and went back to her place. He says this happened a couple of times and he feels as if he was brought into the whole picture, but doesn't know why because they didn't need him for anything. Chris tells me his relationship with Eric S. was non-existent because Eric was too sneaky for his liking.
I've never had one with him. I don't know him. He's not really my type. He's a little too sneaky for me, you know what I'm saying?
As we're ending our conversation, Chris gives me his alibi for the night Brittany disappeared. He offers it up, throws it right out there.
Please do. And just so you know, where I was at, on the night that Brittany came up missing, I was with Ricky Dale, my cousin Alicia, and we were helping my cousin Alicia move.
Was I cut off guard? Fuck yeah. Moving his cousin. That's where he says he was. He says he doesn't know, though, if his cousin and those he was with that night would vouch for him. None of them have a backbone, he tells me. Okay. I told Chris, it's an odd response. If you're not responsible, you don't need to know what you were doing. He explained to me his history with the criminal justice system causes him to be extremely cautious. He felt he needed to have an alibi ready just in case. I asked if his alibi would speak with me if requested. His cousin, the one he was helping move that night, may be too busy to speak with me, Chris says. She works and just flipped the house. We end the interview with Chris telling me he thinks jealousy may play a role in what happened to Brittany.
She probably had a lot of jealous females. And I'm thinking that probably that's how it started and then it got overcarried.
Sarah and I sit down with an IT professional to talk more about Facebook. But this time, we only have one Facebook profile in mind. It's a profile that hasn't been accessed in about 18 months, and we're hoping it still has several messages between the account holder and Brittany. We speak with the account holder and get full permission to do whatever we need to do to get into it, not only for us, but because there's memories in there. Pictures, posts, conversations, that, until now, have been lost.
Since last time we spoke, bro, I just wanted to see how things are going. I felt like you kind of ghosted me.
It's just the whole thing, man. I don't really like to go over the same stuff over and over again, you know? I'm not out there enough to really provide a whole lot of new information and whatnot. And I try to separate myself from the whole situation. You know, I got a whole life I gotta live.
In case you don't recognize the voice, it's Sheldon, Brittany's boyfriend at the time she disappeared.
Just coming from the outside in, like, in coming into this and investigating the case, like, I could see why you'd want to distance and separate yourself from all the drama that's basically surrounded this case and all the people who have kind of brought their opinions. And, you know, you got people who are accusing you because they say she said it's her boyfriend's car or that her and her boyfriend wrecked. Like, I have my own opinion as to why she may have said that. But I could see why you'd want to kind of, like, just distance yourself from the case. I guess for me, I would love to be able to put a rest to this, like be able to have answers and be able to have answers for Brittany, have answers for her family and be able to put this behind us. And that would be also, you know, something for you and your family to be able to do as well. I think obviously you being a father, having a daughter, like if this was your daughter, of course, you'd want to do anything and everything you can. You'd go to the ends of the earth to protect her or figure out what happened, right? So a couple of my questions I have, though, when I was up there recently, have you heard from Ashley or Eric at all?
No, I got Ashley on Facebook.
Did she message you at all?
No, she don't message me or talk to me.
So on the 29th, it's you, Brittany, Thor are at your house on the 29th.
Yeah.
And you guys are hanging out. And I believe you had said you guys had been taking some drugs and had been up all night, right?
Right. Well, we were all on our own drugs and doing our own thing.
So that night that you, that on the, from the 29th to the 30th, you guys, I remember you saying how you guys were kind of up and hanging out. And there's even a video that Brittany takes on her phone on the 30th, like around, I don't know, 3 a.m. And it's inside your house. And you can tell with the arch and like what you see. I don't know who's on the couch, but it's from Brittany's phone. Have you seen that video? You know which one I'm talking about?
No, I didn't.
Okay. If I send it to you.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I guess fucking Thor was doing some weird shit. don't know, he was all fucking shit out of his mind.
And she,
so I guess he was doing some real shit, and she recorded it herself.
Refresh my memory. Is her making the comment, you're not going to like it when I go to grandma's house, or whatever she said, is that actually what she said, or is that someone paraphrasing? And
I don't remember exactly what she said, but there's something along those lines.
Okay. I mean, I feel like I've asked you these questions before. I just want to make sure I know before we go forward. Do you remember asking her what she meant by that?
No, I didn't ask her. I pretty much knew, and then anytime anybody tries to do a threat like that, I just, whatever, blow it off. Like,
one thing I'm trying to figure out is when your guys' relationship started, to, you know, on Facebook official, was like the 23rd or 24th. She put that on Facebook. How long had she been staying at your house before that?
Maybe a week or so.
If you can best guess what time you think Dad was there and she was leaving, what time do you think that was?
Around the 2 to 4-ish.
Up until this point, have you ever interacted with Ashley?
No, not that I can remember. I might have known her from way back, but...
How did you know to contact Ashley, though?
Because that's where I would always take Brittany to and pick her up, drop her off, and where she would go to and whatnot.
When you said this is where I would take Brittany to pick her up and drop her off, was this when, like, was this during the time that you guys were starting to get back together, or were you picking and dropping her off before she moved in?
Both. Like, the time that we were back together, whatever, the month or so, or whatever, before, I would take her over there. Yeah, I would go inside.
So you had heard Eric had been there, but you hadn't physically seen Eric at Ashley's?
No.
Did Brittany ever confirm that Eric was there with, you know, during that time?
I remember when she talked about how she slipped up and used the needle that her and Eric wore at Ashley's.
Do you remember when she told you this and what time frame she was talking about? Like,
it was like right when she first started coming back around, week before she made it Facebook official, we were back together. So that somebody Eric talked her into her or some shit.
Did she ever mention Ashley or Eric being together?
No.
After Brittany goes missing, you still haven't had any kind of contact or communication with Ashley until November 30th, when you said, is Brittany with you?
Yeah, I don't think I ever talked to her before that.
No. You had asked her, like, hey, is Brittany with you? And she's like, no, I thought she was staying with you. And you said, yeah, me too. Long story or something like that.
Yeah.
That was on the 30th, and then Eric ended up sending Brittany a Facebook message. All right, Eric Schenck sent Brittany on December 1st at 2:01 p.m. saying, why your boyfriend text me looking for you? Do you remember when you had messaged Eric?
I think probably around the same time.
And do you remember what he said back to you?
Probably just that he didn't see her. So
the week progresses along. There's still no communication between you and Eric and Ashley between the 30th to the 8th. Is that right?
I think I talked to him, though.
Was there ever a group chat between you, Eric, and Ashley?
I don't believe so.
And this Facebook account that you had back then is not the same Facebook account you have today?
No.
Okay. Do you remember a guy, a private investigator by the name of...
No.
He had started helping with the case, I think it was in 2019. I'm good.
As soon as I get to the house, I'll have Wi-Fi. I'm like right down the road. All right, yeah, I'll call you back when I get to the house.
Okay, I'll be here. Sarah.
Yeah.
Like, he's vague, and he just doesn't have a lot of, like, he doesn't remember a lot, but, like, he's being adamant. Like, I didn't talk to Ashley before this. I'd taken Brittany over there. I never interacted with her. I knew to call her because Brittany had taken me over there just so I can, she can pay a few things off or pick up some stuff.
Call her on Facebook, though, or did he call her, like, on the phone? If he called her on Facebook, totally see it. If he called her on the phone, how do you have her number then?
Called who?
Ashley.
Facebook.
Okay. So all their communication and calls are on Facebook?
Yeah. And he just doesn't have that account.
Says about this is, Ashley says something about a 24-year-old woman found dead down south, blah, blah, blah. Says, that's transparency. No one is saying anything about you except for the fact that you and Eric Shank got the passcodes from Sheldon before they went to Jess and the police. Most people think one of you switched the codes. She says that's hilarious because the cops and I talked about her getting everything from Sheldon. And says, Sheldon doesn't seem to think so. He sent me a group chat, a group Facebook chat of you, him, and Eric. And Ashley says, and Sheldon only sent me pictures of 5 papers to Eric. But to me, if number one, he is resistant to making an attempt to getting into that old Facebook, and then now says he doesn't remember a group chat, those two things kind of give me red flags. Mm-hmm. Do you not want to get in there because what? Because Ashley and Eric have told you not to. They don't want these group chats shared. Like, what is it?
Yeah, he's calling back. Yo.
What's up, bud?
Okay, so where I was at before is there was a private investigator by the name of who you actually have made contact with.
Oh, yeah. That fucking dude.
But you did end up speaking to him, and he was asking you about your conversations with everybody just like I am. And he mentions how you had a group chat between you, Eric, and Ashley. Jog, any memories for you? Ring any bells?
Not really, but I mean, it could have happened. I just don't really remember.
Okay. At that point in time, Eric, you forget your phone in Eric's car. Eric takes off. They call his phone, or your phone, but he has it. He answers, and he's like, I'll bring it right back in 5 minutes. I'll be right back at Sheldon's. Cops already are at, come to your place.
Yeah.
And they're asking you what's going on, where you know, about this car accident. Is that the first time you're notified that your car has been in an accident, is when they show up at your house?
Yeah.
They're there for how long, in your opinion?
Probably a good half hour to an hour.
The cops were there for a half hour to an hour?
Yeah, he's sitting there drilling on me for a good minute, trying to find out who I had let use my car.
Are you sure it was that long? And I don't want you to second guess yourself, but if you're confident, because when they showed up, Eric had dropped you off. Eric said it was like 5 minutes into my car ride home that I see Sheldon's phone light up in my car. I answer it. It's law enforcement. And Eric said, I told law enforcement, hey, I'll take his phone back to him, call him back in like 5 to 7 minutes. He shows up after dropping you off, and cops are there already. But when he's walking in, he said they were already on the way out. But Eric said it was 5 to 7 minutes before he turned around, got back to your house, and they were already leaving.
They might have been there for a minute already, because I know the one that was calling my phone was a state officer that was with the car, and then the one that actually came to my house was a city officer. So they might have already been there when the other one was calling my phone. I know I was on the porch for probably quite a while he was trying to get out of me who had my car.
So cop comes up, he's interviewing you, and he's talking to you. You're talking to him on the porch, and you feel like that's half hour to an hour at least?
Approximately. And I know that the cop did go out to his car and sat for a minute and came back up.
You eventually get contacted by Ashley and Eric to provide some information to them or something like that?
Yeah, they wanted the passwords and stuff that were written in her book.
And how did he even know that the passwords were created and that they were over there?
Well, I'm pretty sure I had told one of the two, because I do believe I was talking to him at one point in time, and I was like, well...
When was that?
I have no idea.
Is that the group conversation, you think, maybe?
Huh?
Is that the group conversation that you're having between them that said you sent him a screenshot of?
Possibly. Because I don't exactly remember. But I know I was talking to him about the whole shebang, and I was like, well, I found this fucking notebook. It's got a bunch of her shit written in it. I would have got the authorities deal with it. First, they had me send pictures to him of a couple of the pages.
There was a point in time that she was gonna come over to pick up the books, and she says, if the cops are there, then I'll fake cry and act like, oh my gosh, where's my friend?
Yeah, actually, we talked about that last time. I couldn't remember, but I actually did later on recall. Yeah, those cops and Jessica were coming over to get the books. I do remember Ashley getting a hold of me trying to get them.
So the cops and Jessica came over
not to give them to the police.
I'm sorry, say that again.
She's telling me specifically not to give them to the police.
Who told you that?
Ashley. Yeah, to give them to her.
Did you ask her why?
No, I just pretty much blew off her doing that, because I'm going to do what the cops say rather than her.
You know, why did she get into the account in the first place? Why do you need to get in the Facebook account? Why are you getting involved? Why is she telling you not to give the passwords to authorities? You know, why the fuck are we doing all this stuff? She says, the reason why I got in there was because Sheldon and Eric told me to get in there so we could figure out what happened to Brittany.
I do remember trying, that's what the whole shebang of what we were doing was. But I mean, why after the fact, fucking 6 months later, she ended up actually getting into it? I don't know.
Would you say yes, I asked her to get into Brittany's account?
Yeah.
Why not let authorities take over?
Well, at that point in time, no cops or nothing had talked to me.
They came over the night that the car went missing, right?
Yeah.
Then we also have when Jessica comes over with the cops, but that's when Jessica's coming over with them, and that's the day that Ashley apparently tells you not to give the passwords over to the cops. So law enforcement was involved.
Yeah, after when they came to my house the first time was when I had told Ashley. I didn't tell her after the missing persons report went up to get into the account. It was beforehand because I wanted to know where the fuck she was at and why she had dipped out. Once the authorities got involved regarding missing persons, that's when I pretty much was like, I ain't fucking with y'all. I ain't fucking with none of these fuckers. I'm gonna let them do their shit. Because that's when it was like, came from me thinking that she had took off to, well, shit, something might have fucking happened. When Greg had called me and asked me if I've seen her or anything, at the same time, it was like a half and half feeling, because at the same time, you know, because even for like a month or so after, I still thought that she had just split. And at the same time, I was like, oh, I mean, that's, makes it a little bit more possibility that something going on. That's when shit actually got real.
Whatever was in your old account and the communication and the text messages, or I'm sorry, the messenger, you, Eric, and Ashley, you and Britt, I need to cross-reference what you have she's never had access to your account, right? Like, she's never accessed your shit. Yeah. She's never, or did you give her? You never gave her.
Been on my shit.
Okay. So getting access to that whole account, Sheldon, is like critical in terms of, you know, me trying to figure out the truth here. Are you willing to get into the old account? It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter
if we can. Yeah, man, I got a lot of shit on there. I wish I still had. We get in there, man. You do me a favor too. Eric had came over a while after, over to my apartment.
A little while after she went missing. So how long?
Well, it was after the missing persons report went up, and I'm not 100% sure how much longer after. I had seen a car I didn't know pull up, so I went out on the porch to see who it was, and he didn't go no further than stepping outside of his car door. He was saying some weird shit about a knife, and yeah, that's the only thing I really remember is how fucking chewed up he was, and that he said something about whoever did it is missing a knife.
First of all, how the fuck do you know that?
That's where, especially after seeing how chewed up he was and the weird shit he was saying, I was like, dude, no, I'm not fucking with these guys. Not gonna lie, I kind of think that I feel like the knife thing was kind of targeted towards me. I don't know, it was weird because, like, later on, I had found a sheath to one of my old hunting knives, but I couldn't find my buck knife that went with.
How do you think they would know that information, though?
I have no fucking clue. And that's where I was like, no, if these guys fucking did have something to do with it, they're trying to fucking set me up or something so these guys can get fucked. I ain't fucking with them.
What kind of car was he driving?
I do believe it was Ashley's car. She had two vehicles at the time. Black SUV, and she had a smaller car. I think it might have been a Pontiac of some sort.
What's the communication like between you, Ashley, and Eric going beyond that point? Do you remember?
After that, it was probably just them trying to hit me up, me ignoring them mostly. Okay. I don't think I really had said much to them after the fact.
When's the last time they got in contact with you?
I would have to have an account in order to know for sure.
What was the email that you used for that old account? Let's do this. Let's throw out a couple of different ideas on what you think the password could be.
Our IT professional tries a few of his tricks, but he's limited in what he can do without compromising his position and the account. And because the phone number used on this profile is no longer Sheldon's phone number, receiving a text message to prove identity won't work. We have no luck. We ask for clues from Sheldon about possible passwords. We try all the usual routes, but we're striking out. Because my location didn't match Sheldon's location, we weren't able to access the account. We'd get close, and just as we thought we were in, we'd get bounced out each time. Eventually, I'm prompted by Facebook to provide an ID.
They said they'll use their government ID issued to confirm who you are. It will never be visible on Facebook. Just your driver's license.
My ID? Like, how do we do that?
If you want to send me a picture of the front and back of it, I'm in the process right now of doing it.
Right.
So I can upload it for you and do it.
All right, I sent them.
All right, and I just want this on record real quick, bro, because I don't want this to ever be something that comes back and bites me in the ass. You're giving me approval to access the account and to log in and to help you retrieve your account. I'm not going to do shit to it. I'm just helping you retrieve it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's it. Takes me back to the login. So, I mean, I guess now it's just a waiting game. I couldn't figure out any fucking type of way to get in that account. I tried for fucking days. So, I hope it does work.
Sheldon agrees to send me his photo ID. Clearly, he's cooperative and trusting. And he seems motivated to do whatever he can to help. I submit it, and we wait for the link. The approval of the ID and link from Facebook won't arrive for 24 hours. Before I end the call, I want to confirm once and for all that Sheldon has not deleted anything from the account. I want to make sure when Sheldon gets access back to his account that I'm able to have access just long enough to go over the messages. As I've said before, no shade, but I need to see things with my own eyes.
Before we wrap up the call, you've never deleted anything from your conversations with Ashley, Brittany, Eric. You haven't deleted anything like that, have you?
No, I don't delete shit. Okay. Especially not that old account.
Okay. When you gain access to that account, would you allow me to be able to... all I fucking care about is Brittany, and I'm looking for specific right. conversations. Would you allow me to take a look at those conversations?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, whether it be me sending you password, or if I can, we can do the fucking beauty screen thing on here and I can go through it.
Yeah.
I mean, we can figure it out. We can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay. I, as soon as they let you know, hey, I got access, like, regardless of the time, hit me up.
All right,
bro. I appreciate it. Hopefully we get you back into your account. I appreciate your support and helping this, bro. I know this isn't, like you said, this isn't desirable, but if you can hang with me just a little bit longer.
The next day, I hear from Sheldon. He's received the email from Facebook and forwards it to me. Sarah and I immediately attempt to sign in. I don't even look, but Sarah's reaction says it all. I look at the screen. Holy shit. Good morning, Sheldon. We're in. We inform Sheldon that we got it. Of course, he's really happy to have access to old pictures. Again, he gives me permission to do whatever we need to do, so we head straight to the messages.
Did you get it?
I got it.
Holy crap. Dude, I'm literally holding my breath. Speak.
Okay, I'm just going through the messages. Okay, so I'm just going back all the way to... Oh, how did that just work? Let's do this. Dude, I'm kind of shaking right now. That's crazy.
Hold on. Holy smokes. Where's her Facebook at? The conversation between Sheldon and her aren't showing up. How do I make sure my settings are so that people can't see that I'm online? How do I make sure? All right, let's go Ashley Marie. I want to just fucking get right into it.
I have a strong desire to compare Sheldon's Facebook Messenger conversation history with Brittany's to the conversation history shown in the Facebook data download that Ashley provided us with. In one of my first meetings with Ashley, she provided us with her own recollection of events for the night Brittany disappeared. The following audio transcript you're about to hear is a conversation between Sheldon and Ashley. The start of their conversation begins on the evening Brittany disappears, of November 30th, 2018. The time is 8:07 p.m., and Sheldon makes two attempts to call Ashley through Facebook Messenger. No answer. 20 minutes pass, 8:27 p.m. Sheldon tries his luck again and calls Ashley. Still no answer. Fast forward to 9:21, nearly an hour later. Ashley responds to Sheldon.
I just saw this in my message requests.
That concludes the conversation between Ashley and Sheldon on November 30th. They never actually speak to one another on this date.
I thought she had said when she saw the messages that she had replied to him, because remember, she looks at Eric and says, he's asking where about, Sheldon's calling me, that's
yeah,
weird.
What's he calling me? Yeah.
Let's continue. December 1st, 7:58 a.m.
Trying to get a hold of Brittany.
Nearly 4 hours later, 11:41 a.m. Ashley replies,
I haven't really talked to her lately. I thought y'all were staying together.
That's what I thought too.
Did you guys fight or something?
Long story. If you hear from her, tell her to get a hold of me.
Will do.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Ashley's conversation with Sheldon ends there. Fast forward 7 days. It's now December 8th, 4:08 p.m. Greg Wallace, Brittany's father, has just contacted Sheldon on Facebook Messenger. Greg, this is Brittany's dad. Have you seen her? Sheldon replies, no, I haven't. You guys haven't heard anything? Greg, can you call me? The previous conversation demonstrates the date Sheldon learns that Greg is contacting law enforcement. Again, this is on December 8th, 2018, 7 days after Brittany is missing. After the phone call between Greg and Sheldon, Sheldon jumps back into a conversation with Ashley. The time is now 4:27 p.m.
Hey, can you call me?
A phone call takes place between Ashley and Sheldon. Sheldon speaks with Ashley and Eric S. Eric is with Ashley at the time of this call. Eventually, Ashley has to end their call. She follows up with Sheldon on Facebook Messenger. The conversation you'll hear now is between Ashley and Sheldon. 6:55 p.m.
Send me what you got. Sorry to hang up. Pocket is being an asshole. Eric just said he asked if we could come grab it. Are you okay with that?
I just messaged him back.
Sheldon sends Ashley a picture of a partially torn notebook paper with Brittany's handwriting. Written on the paper is a few dollar amounts and the word Walmart. There's also a few email accounts and what appears to be passwords for those accounts. 6:56 p.m. Ashley messages Sheldon.
Hey, how about if I go over there? I was just telling Eric, if I go over there and the cops aren't there, I can ask for it. If the cops are there, Pocket's already got me upset, so I can cry at the drop of a hat, and I'll just play the, oh my God, where's my friend card. Only if they're there.
Okay, we'll work with this. Eric's techno turd, too.
All right. He's got the rest of them. There's more, too. I'll try to send.
An hour and a half later, Sheldon messages Ashley.
Cop just left.
Ashley doesn't respond to Sheldon till the following day. November 9th, 10:47 a.m.
Hey, would it be okay if I swing by and grab that paper while I'm out?
This is where the conversation between Ashley and Sheldon comes to an end. Sheldon doesn't respond to any more of Ashley's attempts to get the notebooks. In August of 2021, I took my first trip to Sturgis. I sat down with Ashley during that first trip for her first interview. During that interview, I hovered over Ashley as she swiped her way through her conversation history between her and Sheldon. And here's where things get interesting. So stop what you're doing and listen closely.
She doesn't have any more text messages beyond this. This is all brand new to me at this point now.
It's July 8th, 2019. 8 months have passed since Ashley and Sheldon last spoke. Most of the world is tuning in to the breaking news of an infamous arrest.
Good morning. I'm Jeff Berman, United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York. Today, we announce the unsealing of sex trafficking charges against Jeffrey Epstein.
Breaking news, billionaire Jeffrey Epstein arrested on new sex trafficking charges. The accusations date back to the 2000s and involve alleged crimes in New York and Palm Beach, Florida. In 2008, the wealthy...
Meanwhile, a community of Britney's loved ones are also shocked, but for very different reasons. All at once, several people notice that Britney appears to be active on Facebook. Her status turns green. A moment of hope for her siblings and for Sheldon. Someone's in Brittany's most recent Facebook account, the same account we referenced in episode 11, BB God's Plan. July 8th, 2019, 7:59 p.m. Sheldon is so shook by this, he immediately makes contact with Ashley.
Hey, somebody got into Britt's Facebook today. You know anything about it?
Ashley responds the next day, July 9th, 10:32 a.m.
Yeah, some douchebag PI got a hold of me. I worked with him for a second, then ended up blocking him. Then he had his little douchebag buddy get a hold of me, blocked him, unblocked PI. He gave me passwords, then turned douche again. Told me you said I changed everything in the beginning. I corrected him. Told him you sent pictures to Eric before giving the notebooks to Britt's mom. He said everyone thinks I had something to do with it. I told him everyone but the cops, the ones who matter, and to fuck off. Figured you'd have known it, though, considering he was using you as a scare tactic. Claimed you and Eric and I had a group text going on. Claimed you said I had Britt's shit.
Later that evening, 8:55 p.m.
I logged it out. I'm not playing any games. I told you how and why I got in it. I haven't opened any of her unread messages or anything. I'm sorry if it said she was on. I'm still looking for her too.
Not gonna lie, my heart sank. It literally beat out of my chest. If you don't mind, I'd like to talk to you about it more tomorrow. I'm not gonna say anything to the PI or anything. Just wanna talk some.
I'd love to. Honestly, I'm not sure why you and I haven't linked up sooner.
All right, I'll hit you up tomorrow.
There's so much wrong about it all. I won't stop until I find answers.
Yeah, I'd like some too. I'm just getting so sick of the bullshit everybody keeps saying.
I don't even hear any of the stories anymore. I literally talk to no one because I've lost everything. I was warned by multiple people to stop looking for her or I'd be in for trouble. I didn't listen, and so much bad has happened. But now that they've taken everything, I've got nothing left to lose. That's how I see it anyway. I'm free all day, so hit me up whenever.
Yeah, we should definitely meet up sometime and try to put together what we've heard or found out and see what we can figure out. Just so much of it doesn't make sense.
Did you know she has every single one of her mother's accounts blocked? And that Facebook is basically brand new. It was only just created in October. I think more answers would be in the other one. I quit for a while, about a week before Jess decided to try to put me as front man. She didn't know I'd already been brought in by the police, though, and basically was told to stop because I'm making their job more difficult. They say they had numerous statements saying Ashley said. I called bullshit and asked who claimed I told them anything, because I didn't talk to anybody about the shit I was finding out.
Yeah, she said she made a new one because Daniel got on her other one, but I don't know. The main thing is trying to figure out who she met up with when she left my house that day. Anybody she was talking to fit the description that Vicky gave? Or was she talking to anyone that has been in question like Jeffrey or Chuck Allen?
Unless someone got into that Facebook and deleted messages, no. But the description Vicky gave fit Jeffrey. I was the one who told Bulk to send one of his guys with Jeffrey's picture. She positively ID'd him. I just found out that another one of her exes, a Pursing, I believe, would have matched that description at the time, and even had chops, I believe. I wholeheartedly believe Jess and Daniel had something to do with it. I don't care if you're close with either one of them and tell them that either. Tell me, if your daughter went missing and she had a friend you'd never met, who she was about to move in with because she was in fear for her life, wouldn't you want to meet that friend ASAP? Or if someone got a recording allegedly stating what happened, wouldn't you stop whatever it is that you're doing and get to them immediately to hear it? Or tell them to tell the police immediately. I know I would. Jess didn't. I didn't meet her for the first time until the day I got the recording. I called her first, thinking, as a mother, she had the right to know first. She told me not to tell the police, to wait until she heard it. Then it took hours for her to get around to coming to my house. Then it was like she couldn't really be bothered with it. She'd rather talk on the phone or to Eric about a necklace. I cried more for her than her own damn mother.
Jess has always seemed fishy to me, but Justin Pursing was in jail at the time, so definitely wasn't him. But what seems weird as fuck is Jess fucking around with all Britt's exes. Like first Daniel, when he came back up, then Zach, as soon as he got out, and I guess she tried did fuck around with Chuck Allen too. But yeah, she tried to get me to go to her before the police too. And I was like, nah, motherfucker, I'm going to them. Like, what the fuck you gonna do? But I don't know if I can really rule Jeffrey out. I don't believe he fit the description that Vicky gave, but she did pick him out. And Jeffrey was involved with some others in the dope game that were in question. Apparently gave a confession. Not Giddens. Somebody else.
See, everyone told me Jeffrey isn't a killer. I agree, but he'll do anything for dope, such as deliver someone, possibly. Eric came to my house after talking to Vicky and said he got a different description than what was on the flyer, which made everyone think it was you. As he was telling me what Vicky said, I said, I know who the fuck she's describing. That's when I showed Jeffrey's picture to Eric. Jess was with Daniel once before, too. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I did. That was one of the main reasons why Britt had such an issue with her.
And I got into her JPay. She said something to Zach about a voicemail Daniel showed her about Jess and Zach trying to get one over on her, and how scared of him she was. Jess is not good people. That much I know. The dope world is not one I'm familiar with, and I have met some incredible people, both incredibly scary and incredibly connected. One in particular, a lot of people are afraid of. He told me Jess gets a kick out of ruining lives and wouldn't be surprised if she got caught up in something, and Britt was used as payment of sorts. He lived with them up north when Jess tried smuggling Suboxone into the prison. The day after I heard about that, I told one person. The very next day, I got a message from Jess. I have screenshots for days of things I've found.
Yeah, she said shit to me before, too, about Zach having people, and her being scared of leaving him abruptly to be with me, which I pretty much just marked up to her not wanting to leave him. And the Jeffrey thing? I don't know if he would deliver her, but I believe that if he was in the vehicle when she crashed, his people could have been the ones to pick them up, then had some kind of issue happen there. But I also have this feeling and heard of people believing that Jess is acting in guilt.
The Jeffrey thing is so confusing to me. I didn't know she knew him. I do, though, because he was my runner.
I don't know. I just know we live in a small-ass town, and it makes it hard because everyone's tied in with everybody somehow.
See, this is where I feel I have an advantage as far as being able to see past connections, because I don't know 90% of the people being named. I can look at the puzzle pieces objectively, which has led me to a lot of interesting possibilities. No one has talked to me, though, because not many know about me. Hold on. I gotta go find something to show you.
Ashley sends Sheldon a screenshot similar to one of the many she sent me. It's got no context, who it's from, or directed to.
Where'd it come from, and when?
I found it. See, in the beginning I was with Pocket. Whenever he'd piss me off, I'd hack into his accounts and lock him out. Then I began to realize I had a knack for that shit. Once Eric broke my trust, I hacked and secured two of his accounts. Then I had two or three of Larry's. I have numerous accounts secured. But once I do that, it smashes together all the info from all the accounts to a certain point. I'm sure I could work backwards to figure it out, but I don't have internet or a hotspot. I need to use more than one device for that. I found it either December or January, which that alone eliminates a lot of accounts because at that point, I didn't have that many. This is why Rockford got a hold of me. I'm almost certain. Because that's the one thing he asked of me. Get into her accounts. He even offered me money. I wasn't about to just hand over everything I had to a stranger, though.
Right? I don't know. So much of it seems fucked. But I have to cook my daughter some food. I'll get back and a hold of you later.
I have papers, handwritten, of Brits too, that no one's ever seen. Phone numbers with no names, addresses, etc.
The two end their communication here. I'm going to reserve my thoughts and opinions about the conversation for now. 2 years later, on September 17th, 2021, Ashley reaches back out to Sheldon.
Hey, it's been a while, but I was wondering if I could talk to you again.
There's no response from Sheldon. I turn my attention back to Brittany. I want to see Sheldon's conversation history with her. I continue to try and find the conversation history between Brittany and Sheldon. The problem is, her messages aren't populating in the list of conversations. I search every profile name, getting nothing. I spend the next hour combing over every conversation Sheldon ever had. Sarah watches me scroll through message after message, both of us scanning the conversation for any sign of Brittany's messages. I scroll down to the conversation that are 3 years and older. I'm examining every profile, making sure not to pass any image or possible verbiage that would indicate the messages are from the Facebook profile that we're looking for. Then my heart stops. We see Brittany's profile picture. Sarah and I look at each other. We see the words, "Be the hope." Ironic. That's what this moment feels like. Hope. It feels like we're close. We're anxious to see Brittany's conversation history with Sheldon. Being able to compare the conversation as viewed from Sheldon's profile versus viewing it from the data download may not provide any clarity or be any different. If I were a betting man, though, I wouldn't put my money on it.
There she is. Oh, Britt.
Yeah, there's Wallace and Brittany.
Told you, yo. I'm telling you, the account's gone. Fucking told you. So it's gone. Because this is what you told me what happened with Chuck Allen's page when he did this to me. Look at. Oh, I can't believe she did that. Oh my gosh. That sucks.
That feeling of hope dissipates. We can't see any of Brittany's messages to Sheldon. Only what Sheldon sends to Brittany. This is beyond frustrating. There's no reason for this. No reason why Brittany's Facebook message history should have been tampered with. Well, I guess there's one. I'll let you say it. Sarah and I stay locked in. We start to go over Sheldon's words. We have no choice but to work with what we have. Something we've been accustomed to this season. We continue on looking at the one side of their messages. We're not taking an L for the day. We pull up Brittany's Facebook download Ashley provided and start comparing.
Look at the earliest that goes back is November 24th. This is what I wanted.
I've always felt something was off about that. Remember, Brittany opened this account on October 7th, 2018. So conversation history beginning with Sheldon over a month later seems unlikely. You still with me? Sheldon's profile says different. His conversation with Brittany begins October 15th, 2018. Let that sink in. That means there's 40 days of conversation history between them that isn't there. First thing that sticks out, Sarah, is when we go back to the beginning of his conversation history with Brittany on the BB God's Plan Facebook profile, the one that she was using at the time of her disappearance, their conversation on Ashley's download is November 24th. Sheldon's begins October 15th, 2018, which is the day that she opens the account, right?
She opens it on Sunday, October 7th. So about a week later.
And we can't, obviously, we can see her communication bubble, but we don't see the context. We can't see the text that she's writing back. They've all been removed.
Yeah.
So we can sometimes guess what the communication was on her end because of Sheldon's choice of words.
Sure.
So for example, the first thing that he says to her in response to her contacting him, "All right, I'll text you." Maybe she sends him her phone number. Why do we see a picture of her Facebook profile still? Because we could see her picture, but like on other Facebook accounts that have been, I think, deleted. We don't see a logo or a profile picture for them.
I actually wonder if this is deactivated rather than deleted because we're still seeing her picture.
With her conversations no longer being there, though, wouldn't it still show if it was deactivated? So doesn't that leave us to believe that someone went and specifically deleted things?
I'm not certain that somebody specifically deleted, because you and I did an experiment and we, you know, fooled around with deleting messages. If I deleted a message to you, you were still able to see, you know, message has been deleted. Or unsent, I think is what it said. Message has been unsent. I think that perhaps the account before deactivation perhaps blocked Sheldon. Because for me, when somebody blocks me, and you know I have a lot of people who block me, only my messages will show. I wonder if perhaps his account was blocked before the account was deactivated.
As we go through this, you know, let's pick out some of these conversations that he's communicating to her about, you know, what's he really, you know, what was his relationship like with her? You can obviously tell that they spoke a lot in October and up until the point of her disappearance. You know, they were in constant communication. There are times that she's, you know, he's telling her to come over and even refers to his house as her home.
I mean, I see a lot of communication from Sheldon that tells me he really cared about her. In fact, in one of these messages, he offers to cook her dinner. He offers to, you know, walk with her. She can ride his bike while he walks so that she's not alone.
There's times where he's telling her, like, you have a home here, like, come over, come mm-hmm. home. And he even, like you said, he's willing to go wherever she's at. I don't know where she's at, but he says, I'll ride my yeah. bike. I'll walk next to you. The guy obviously cared for her. He's not showing any signs of jealousy either.
You know, and here it appears, you know, he says, you're not a fuck up and you're not alone either. You know damn well I'm here for you, Brittany. In messages like that, you know, you see that he is trying to support her, whatever may be going on. He's telling her very clearly, I'm here. You've got a place here. You've got me. He's doing his best to support her.
So it makes me wonder, were Eric and her actually really trying then? Like, and I'm not oblivious to the fact that, like, hey, Brittany could have been talking to the both of them and that's just what it is.
Sure.
But yeah. Again, remember, Ash is like, she was over here on the constant with Eric and they were trying to make their marriage work. If that's the case, well, how does Eric not know this? I don't know. I guess I'm wondering if their relationship, if they were really trying to work things out. I don't know. I'm just not buying that.
I don't know if there was a you know, voicing, hey, we're trying to work things out, or if maybe she perceived it that way because they're hanging out together. And, you know, most people who are divorcing or separated don't necessarily hang out together. So I guess I could see thinking that, but I mean, certainly the conversation here kind of seems like, you know, she's looking for some support. She's looking for an out. That part right there. He says, I'm going to put my keys in my golf bag. I won't be long. Just going to my dude here in town. So, you know, he's leaving his keys for her so that she can, I assume, get in the house without him there. And if you see there, if you scroll up just slightly, she's obviously not feeling well. She's telling him she's not feeling well. And he says, I wish I could be taking care of you right now. This is clearly somebody who cared very much for Brittany.
One of the things he says here on, this is October 21st. He says, well, you said you wanted to quit, right? Laugh my ass off. And she responds something. He goes, LOL, just saying, winking emoji. Mm-hmm. Like, this falls in line with what she said she was trying to do. And this is also him encouraging her to not, like, this is what you're going to have to do.
It sounds to me like she was going through withdrawals. I think this, seeing this, all of this is really confirmation to me that Sheldon felt strongly for Brittany. And for him, this wasn't just a stop along the way. They talk pretty often through Messenger, too.
I mean, it's like almost every day.
Yeah.
But not a single thing that shows any level of concern.
And we're up to the end of October now, the 27th, 28th.
This is interesting. October 28th, 11:29 a.m. Brittany messages Sheldon. Sheldon's response was, "What's been Eric this whole time?" Brittany responds. Sheldon says, "So wait, he was the reason you went down? What the fuck?" Brittany responds again. Sheldon says, "What the fuck? That is fucked up." Brittany replies, "What you mean, how fucked you are?" Brittany responds. Sheldon says, "Well, I'm pretty sure they have to catch you in the act, babe. I'm sure that if they haven't pressed charges on you yet, they can't do it." Brittany replies. Sheldon says, "You're okay, but I want to, baby, so bad, and I'll be 100 with you. Those other motherfuckers were the only ones holding me back. I don't want you to go anywhere. I want you here with me, babe." That's interesting, because what she just discovered about Eric in October,
so or wait, October 28th. He was the reason you went down.
Their raid back in 2017. 17. Yeah, the summer of 2017. Mm-hmm. So she thinks it was Eric. But Eric got arrested.
I mean, that seems, to me, that seems unlikely. I mean, I don't know Eric, but I'm not sure that he would put himself in a position to be arrested, incarcerated.
Well, she's talking about them also possibly pressing charges.
And this is
October 28th, 2018. So that's
a year-ish later.
Could this be something different that she's referring to? I know Sheldon says he's the reason why you went down.
I mean, to me, it doesn't seem like it could be about the raid, certainly, but it doesn't seem like it's about that to me because, like you said, Eric is arrested. And what reason would he have to want to put himself in that position?
There's a lot that's going on the 28th.
Yeah.
They're constantly talking. Mm-hmm. So whatever freaked her out, I feel like Sheldon's kind of like a safe haven for her right now.
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy. So what is he getting, another bond in the 9th, or how is he getting out on the 9th? What you mean, what was he, a ride or something?
I wonder if this is in reference to Eric getting out on the 11th, because it's only, 14 days, 15 days away. I wonder if he had to appear before he got out, and how he getting out on the 9th.
As we get closer, into November, obviously we have the conversation Ashley downloaded for us, and it shows mm-hmm. their conversation starting
beginning
November
24th. On. Right.
And we've seen all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what's extremely frustrating is this should have never happened. Law enforcement was provided these passwords, and law enforcement was notified that someone was messing around with her accounts. I am hoping that they did issue some sort of subpoena or warrant for Brittany's Facebook account.
I would hope that they did too, because I think that if they did issue a subpoena and they were able to recover this information was deleted for a reason. So let's see what that reason is.
Once they were notified in July, well, when you get involved and insert yourself and you're tampering with stuff, even if she was wanting to preserve, they tell you don't do it and you go do it, and then things start getting lost, even with good intentions, that's still disobeying a direct order from law enforcement. You're now involving yourself in an investigation where you can, doesn't always have to be because you're the murderer. You could just be fucking up the situation.
Yeah, for sure. You don't have to have bad intentions for bad things to happen. She could have had the best intentions, and bad things are happening because she's messing with the Facebook information that law enforcement needs.
But then you want to get mad because people look at you because now look at what the Facebook shows. It's gone, or at least it's deactivated, and you don't want to answer for that. Like I said, murder or not, you fucked up the investigation. Like, here we are looking into her account, and we can't access it because you felt it was your position and you felt inclined to insert yourself in this investigation to the point where this is heartbreaking. Like, this is someone's life that you have now flipped upside down. And not just her, like, you've done a ton by taking over all these accounts that you continually need to brag about how you had a knack for this shit. Like, that's not something to be proud about. I'm sorry.
No, no.
Like, sneaking and taking people's account information and then divulging their private matters that they have within, you know, their relationships with whoever they choose to have. Like, I don't know what she gets off and why she gets off on this. Like, it's not something to be proud about, Ashley.
And it has not only affected Britney's investigation. I mean, certainly, yes, that's at the forefront. That's important. It has affected the relationships that people in her life who loved her, who were her real friends, now have nothing left. How many people have written to us, have spoke to me, have said, hey, I have nothing now. There's nothing here. We had years of conversations. We had pictures. Nothing. Nothing. Her family has nothing now. The level of frustration you and I feel about that, I can't imagine the level of frustration and sadness that Greg, Jessica, Emily, her entire family, her siblings, feel about the loss of what is likely the last things that they had of Britney.
Here we are still today. I asked her, send me your conversation, the whole thing. What is the problem with transparency here? What's the problem with you providing that? But now you want to act like this is a game. Now you want to act like this is a matter of, well, I'm going to hold my pieces over here. You just keep searching, doing your thing. It's funny how your attitude, your willingness has completely changed as soon as the questions get turned and you need to start answering for those questions and for your actions. Your tune has completely changed. But you have no problem calling out everybody else.
Correct me if I'm wrong. She did say at the beginning of this that she had no problem with being looked at.
Everybody needs to be looked into. That's what she told me. It's pretty simple. You provided a downloaded activity or a Facebook download of Britney's account. Claim Jessica was in there farming that shit out, but yet there are no activity logins between the time that Britney disappears and July when you log in. First off, explain what farming that shit out is, and then two, show proof of it. And not a screenshot of an inbox that doesn't provide any context to prove that that's the account that we're looking at. Running to Facebook or running and sending everybody screenshots of what you have, but never actually providing context. We don't want to hear it no more. It's a broken record. You have all this information, backups and backups and backups, and you have these digital footprints. Like, then show them. Show them.
If your intention is good.
Right. Show them. There's no problem with that. You providing it would probably, if you didn't have nothing to do with it, would help us move forward. What if your conversation had stuff that would provide us info on who we should go look at? Maybe that you don't even realize, because remember, you don't know what you know that you need to figure out that you know. Which one is it? You can't have it both ways. No more all these rabbit trails. And if Ashley had nothing to do with it, I would love to move past her. Trust me.
That's the intention. That's the whole point of the hundreds of hours that we have spent doing this. That's the point. That was a very conservative estimate. Hundreds, thousands at this point. That's the point. The point is to find the end.
We're looking at Eric Schenck's conversation with Sheldon. And it begins with the night that Britney disappears at 8:06 p.m., which is a minute before he calls Ashley. So he actually reaches out to Eric first. No answer. And it's not until 8:21, Eric responds to Sheldon and says, what you call for? Sheldon replies, where Brit at? Need to talk to her. Eric says, couldn't tell you. I haven't talked to her. I thought she would be with you. Sheldon says, nah. Eric says, now at 8:40 p.m., don't know what to tell you, bro. Sorry, haven't been talking to her. Asked her the other day what shit she said she had for me. That was it. Wonder what that was about. That's it. What's interesting about this time frame is that Ashley's right next to him. Eric knows by 8:22, Sheldon's looking for Brittany, but Ashley didn't respond until 9:26. That's the rest of their communication until following morning at 10:02 a.m. Eric says, "You find her?" Sheldon says, "No." Eric says, "I don't even live in the area no more. Sorry, bro. I don't know what to tell you. All I can say is try her grandma." Pause that. What does that mean? What does that mean, you don't live in the area no more? We know that you were staying at your parents' house. The text messages that Ashley did provide, she talks about that and how she was over at Eric's house and his PO was coming over. Why would you say you don't live in the area no more?
I think we can speculate why he says he doesn't live in the area no more.
All I can say is try her grandma. Now, what I will say about that, this is the day after this whole incident takes place, apparently, on the 3rd. Mm-hmm. Like, for Eric mm-hmm. to be like, "We'll call," where he may have just came, like, that just doesn't make sense for me.
You mean if Eric was the mystery guy?
Right. If he was a person, if he was a mystery man, it's just always been misunderstood, or maybe there wasn't a good visual on the mystery man, and maybe mm-hmm. it was. Hey, Eric's saying right here, "All I can say is try her grandma." As much as the guy doesn't like me, that's a point for him there.
Yeah, I agree.
Sheldon continues on saying, "Yeah, fuck it. All her shit's here, so she'll pop up sometime." Eric says, "True. Good luck, bro." He does say at 11:21 a.m., it's still that morning, "Best bet is to message this person and ask him," and sends him a picture of Daniel Keltner's profile. And it looks like it's the mm-hmm. same one that him and Brittany shared. Sheldon says, "Must have me blocked. I can't." Eric says, "Want me to message it for you?" Sheldon, "Yeah, shit if you want, bro." Eric, "I'll let you know if I get a response." Sheldon, "All right, thanks, bro. Did it say delivered?" Eric says, "Nah, it won't if we're not connected on Messenger, but it will go to his request folder." Sheldon says, "All right, thanks, bro." Eric, "No problem. I know what you're going through. Been there myself." Sheldon continues on saying, "Yeah, she don't change much, does she? But now my motherfucking car is an impound." Eric says, "Why is it an impound? Did Brittany do that?" Sheldon continues, "She took it to her grandma's last night to do laundry and slid it into a ditch and kissed a tree, I guess, and left it. Didn't tell me so I can go get it or nothing." Eric continues, "Oh, wow, where was the car found?" Sheldon says, "Out on Fawn River Road." "Towards her grandma's?" Sheldon says, "Yeah." Eric, "Gotcha. I don't know, bro. I've done everything but call her grandma's." Sheldon, "You got her grandma's number?" Eric provides it. Sheldon says, "Thanks." Mm-hmm. Eric says, "No problem. You didn't get it from me." Sheldon replies, "Haven't even talked to you, bro." Fast forward now to December 8th, the day of Brittany being reported missing. As we talked about earlier, we know that Greg reached out to Sheldon first, and then Sheldon turns around and contacts and requests Ashley to call him. Then Eric decides to make contact with Sheldon on this day and says at 4:56 p.m., "Have you heard from her yet?" Sheldon continues, "No, her dad just got a hold of me too. I guess none of them have heard from her either. You know anyone with blonde hair and sideburns that she would know?" Eric replies with a question mark. Sheldon continues, "Vicky's seen her with some guy like that, I guess." Eric says, "Where though? Long hair?" "No, short hair. But Brittany took him to Vicky's, I guess. Anybody come to mind?" Eric throws out the name Josh Vandervries, maybe, aka Dutchy. He continues, "There was a guy by the name of William she would talk to a bit, but not sure what he looks like. I think he worked at Popeye's at the toll road." Sheldon just simply says, "I don't know." Now it's 6:49. This is around the time when Sheldon has that phone call with Ashley, and Eric's next to her during this phone call. Because immediately after they must end that call at 6:49, Eric says, "Give me the info you have for her." And then he sends the 5 pictures from
the notebook pages.
Mm-hmm. 6:54, Eric says, "Can I come grab that from you?" Sheldon replies, "I wouldn't right now. Greg called me and said the cops are probably on their way here to talk to me." Eric replies, "So he reported her missing?" Sheldon, "Yeah, he must have." Wow. Look at that, Sarah. Eric says, "Don't give that paperwork to the cops."
Don't give that paperwork to the cops.
That is pretty concerning. Why wouldn't you want the cops to have it again? Here you have law enforcement wanting to take action, going to Sheldon's, mm-hmm. doing what they're supposed to do. And you're telling him, hey, don't give it to him. Do I need to remind you you're the husband or the separated husband? Sheldon just responds with a thumbs up, which in your opinion, you think that was him more of just...
I think that's a clear dismissal.
Acknowledging what he said, but not on board.
Yep.
Eric continues by asking Sheldon some more questions. He says, what's her phone number? Is it still... He provides the phone number and Sheldon says, that's the last one I talked to her on. Eric says, okay. Sheldon then asks him, you guys figure anything out? Eric says, trying. You need to find the exact spot your car was found now. Sheldon says, how about I scoop you up and we try to find it? Eric replies, how? Thought you didn't have a car. Sheldon continues, got it out at impound Thursday. You riding or not? Eric replies, I can't right now. That's why I wanted you to get me that location. Sheldon says, I don't think I'm going to be able to get out there tonight. Cops got me paranoid as fuck right now and I've been smoking and drinking. Why can't you go right now, Eric? I mean, if you're concerned, you want to get in the Facebook, you want to get in the passwords, you want to be able to look into all this information, why can't you go, but you want him to go find that location?
And you know, Eric wants him to go find the location now. Eric is telling him there's some sense of urgency to this. So if there's such a sense of urgency, why doesn't Eric want to go?
Eric has a late night after that because he continues at 1:58 a.m. on December 9th now, the day after Brittany's been reported missing. 1:58 a.m., Eric says, how bad is the damage to your car? He messages again at 2:38 a.m. with a thumbs up emoji. 3:20 a.m., Eric calls Sheldon. 3:49, call me when you can. Eventually, Sheldon wakes up and says, just woke up, what's up? Is it cool to stop over? Sheldon says, not right now, give me a few. When Sheldon sends that message, it's 8:55 a.m. At 9:30 a.m., Eric sends ... followed by at 12:58 p.m. that afternoon, a call from Eric. See, this is kind of where it's like it's a double-edged sword. He's behaving in ways where there's showing some urgency here. You can't fault him for that because it's a double-edged sword. Damn if they do, damn if they don't. So I can't.
Right.
I don't want to say like him being concerned and wanting to find out is a negative.
On one hand, that's how you would expect and hope that somebody would react. And at this point, you know, Eric doesn't know if Sheldon's had any involvement, if he doesn't know. So him kind of pushing the envelope here and messaging him back and saying, you know, why are you dodging me? Is it cool to stop over? Can I come over? He's calling him. Like, that is, to some extent, what you would expect and hope for.
But you can't go find, you can't go out to help with the search to find the location when Sheldon's like, well, how about I just scoop you up and we just go do it now?
Right.
But, and again, the other thing too, I would expect this behavior, but not the behavior at 1:30 a.m., 2 a.m.
2 a.m., you know, 3 a.m., yeah.
I'm sorry, Sheldon doesn't respond on the 9th to him at all. The next day, December 10th at 12:27 a.m., Eric says, hey, what you dodging me for? At 2 a.m., Eric sends a thumbs up emoji. At 5:31 a.m., Sheldon says to Eric, not dodging, what's up? Eric asks Sheldon that paperwork and is any of Brittany's stuff gone? Not long after, Sheldon tells him, all she would have had was her wallet and phone, only stuff I haven't found, and just came and got the paperwork last night. Eric ends their conversation by saying, fuck. Okay. What side of this coin do we want to address first? On one side, Sarah and I agree. Eric reacts like we would assume someone who is worried about the well-being of another person would. He shows persistence and what appears to be concern for Brittany's whereabouts. At this point, Eric doesn't really know Sheldon and doesn't have any idea what kind of guy Sheldon is. So his persistence pushiness, depending on what side of the coin you believe, could be valid. On the other side of the coin, Eric encourages Sheldon to disobey law enforcement, telling him not to hand over Brittany's notebooks. Why? If you have genuine concern for the safety of someone you care about, whether that's your significant other, a friend, or a stranger on the street, then one would imagine you'd do anything you could to cooperate with the police who have the power to find out what's really going on. Whatever the reason was for needing those notebooks, must have been pretty damn important. I mean, you were concerned enough about those notebooks to reach out to Sheldon at 1, 2, 3 a.m., right, Eric? Or were you not aware you messaged Sheldon at these times? Was it a regular thing for Ashley to speak for you through Messenger, like she did with Rockford, the PI? Ironic. Messages were sent to Rockford from your account in the same month that these messages are sent to Sheldon, December of 2018. And we know those messages were really from Ashley. Something to consider. Our second concern is the way the conversation ends. Once Eric realizes Sheldon already gave the notebooks to Jessica, Eric abruptly abandons the conversation. There's no further communication between Eric and Sheldon. Eric never messages Sheldon again, not even to check in and see if he's heard any news. So it seems if there was any genuine concern here, it was over those notebooks, not over Brittany. It's May of 2022. Sheldon's interview comes out in two parts, Episode 4, Dazed and Confused, and Episode 5, Techno Turd.
Hey, I just want to say thank you. You don't have any clue how much you had my back without even knowing it. James is trying like gangbusters to make it look like I did it, and all you had to do to have my back was tell the truth. The same truth that I've been telling all along. Also, just wanted to clear the air. The only reason I've reached out to you hasn't been to incriminate you. It's been to understand some things and clear you. I'm still steady, trying to clear people and defend them, while everyone comes at me full force.
I don't know what I said that helped.
Hey, hold on, wait. Switch seats real quick.
I don't know what I said that helped. I'm confused as fuck with everything coming out.
The voice? It's changed for a reason.
That's the best part. And show me to clear things up. Back in November, I made it clear to James that I had managed to get a licensed PI to take Britt's case. I've given her access to my accounts, everything. We're working on actually solving and ending this. That didn't jive well with James, though, because he stands to see the biggest paycheck his stupid little podcast career will ever see covering Britt's story. So long as he covers every little bullshit story that's developed over the past 4 years, anyway. So when I was no longer interested in speaking with him, he switched up. He teamed up with Jessica to sit me down and shut me up, plain and simple. He's playing the field like no other. And no one sees it. No one will even believe it. I had a couple of people on video call with me while Daniel took a video call with James. Later, James called one of the women I had listening in without him knowing, and he started telling her that Daniel had said things he never said. Thankfully, she was already aware, and she called him out on it. Ever since then, it's been an all-out war against me. James and Jessica have also befriended Eric Glide and have begun telling everyone the recording I got of him was actually staged and we knew all along. He's creating more lies, stories, drama, and confusion by steering everything in the direction of maybe the best friend did it. In his hide-and-seek group, he deletes any comments that are even remotely against Jessica and removes and blocks the authors of those comments and refuses to speak to anyone that isn't strictly against me. What you said that helped me was the truth. He's stuck on me with you. Asking you over and over why I wanted her passwords. Even though I told him 100 times, I never asked for them. They were given to me by you and Eric, and I was told to do my thing and get into her accounts and see if I could figure out where she was. Plain and simple. And no one has noticed that he kept asking you and asking you and asking you, and you kept telling him the same thing. That you had given them to Eric and myself to help find Britt. Basically, you backed the truth by telling the truth. But everyone is so bloodthirsty for me right now, it doesn't seem to have mattered. Worst part? I've been out here and defended downright enemies simply because no one deserves to have a murder put on them if they didn't do it. Yet all I hear is crickets when it comes to me. Everyone's saying I've been out here pointing fingers when I'm the only one that hasn't laid blame yet and won't without enough to confidently say I think so-and-so did it for this reason this way. Jessica, on the other hand, has had a different name in her number one spot almost daily, depending on who she's maddest at that week. She's even in my inbox with nasty voice messages calling me a fucking psycho, telling me I murdered her fucking daughter. They even went as far as to rig a polygraph. This message is already long enough, so I won't go into that unless you'd like to know that super fucked up story too, which is actually how they've managed to turn everyone against me. It's me against the world right now. And hearing someone on the podcast tell the truth and having that truth back what I've been saying all along was huge for me. No one else saw it. I got no one. I got nothing except the truth. So I know the more people who actually tell the truth, the more James and Jessica's bullshit will unravel and the safer I'll become again. I'm sorry, it's long as fuck. You end up with a whole lot to say when no one will hear a word.
I heard some shit about Apolly.
To this day, I'll stand by my thoughts that he knows something. And I always will, until I can prove it or disprove it, period.
Who's he?
Curtis Polly, the dude I was dating when she went missing. He was arrested the day before she disappeared. It was all too convenient. Then the way he reacted to me over the phone when he found out she was missing never sat well with me. That's actually the first flag he threw that made me raise an eyebrow towards him. Tell me why the fuck, if you've been on parole for almost 8 years and you literally have 2 months left until you're completely done and off paper, why the fuck would you choose to cut your tether? Because that's what happened, and then in a town that tiny, he didn't even bother to try and stay out of sight.
Shit's fucked up. Why do you feel that way?
Just because of the way he reacted to me the day he called and I told him she was missing. Some of the things he said to me after he was in there. Things I would end up hearing along the way from others, too. Right before I got a warning, then they'd stop talking to me. Lots of little things said and done that when looking back and adding them up, they suggest very highly he knows something. Had I known what this was going to turn into, I probably would have left it alone like the rest of you. I had no way of knowing, though. Nothing had ever happened to me in my entire life. And I'd only just been introduced to this drug world less than a year before all of this went down, you know? You can't know what you don't know. Which is why I've learned every lesson the hard way. Along the way, I suppose.
It was nice talking to you, Ashley. Next time on Hide and Seek. There's not a lot to say about this one. We're getting into the case file.
The Hide and Seek podcast is hosted, directed, edited, and produced by James Basinger. Written, edited, and produced by Sarah Joe. Engineered, mixed, and mastered by New Dawn's Audio Engineering. Director of Photography and Editing is Ethan Schatz. Our graphic design is created by Jordan Robinson.